out there in internet radio land, welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution, where I talk about spirituality, not religion. Although I do mention some religious things, but mostly spirituality, which is why we're here on this planet. This is not our home. Planet Earth is not our home. We were born into this planet. There are many other planets throughout the universe that are filled with different beings, many different civilizations out there, some in very advanced stages of evolution, some less than our own. But suffice it to say, there are millions of planets out there. There's millions of them. I don't want to bog your mind with numbers, but just think how big, how huge planet Earth is. I'm going to take a drink. Excuse me. And just also imagine this. Other planets out there, larger than our own, that are inhabited by sentient beings going through their own processes of evolution, evolving their souls. This is a great and wonderful universe we know very little about, like the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. You know, there are extraterrestrials out there who are monitoring, observing, interacting with us here on planet Earth, and have been doing so for many years. And they just don't, they're not showing up and introducing themselves publicly, you know, like landing somewhere in D.C., because they know that we're not ready for it. Because they know we're not ready. Some people are, the majority aren't. And why is that? Because I would venture to say that not all of us here on planet Earth are evolved, highly evolved souls, advanced souls, old souls. I think we probably have a lot of intermediate souls here. Not very many young souls, though, you know, like with only maybe one or two or a few past lives under their belt. You know what I'm saying? Most people here are either intermediate or old souls. And why do they come here? Because this is one of the most difficult planets of learning in the universe. And that's true. And I've already mentioned, and you know already, that the universe is filled with many planets, just like Earth, Earth-like planets that are filled with water and have a lot of plant and animal life. Some like what we have here, others that are different that we just couldn't imagine or comprehend. There's a race of extraterrestrials that have been monitoring us for approximately 1,000 years. They're called the Verdants, V-E-R-D-A-N-T-S. And they are, from what I've read, the dominant species throughout the universe. They have trillions of them living in planets around the universe that they have colonized. And they are approximately 5 feet tall, with either grayish or tan-colored skin, with maybe a tinge of green, with the big dark eyes, you know, the stereotypical big dark eyes, maybe a little bit slanted and pointed ears like in Spock of Star Trek. And they are extremely intelligent, have been traveling throughout the universe for approximately 290 million years. And that was probably before our solar system was created, maybe even before our Milky Way galaxy was created, 290 million years. Think about it. 290 million years traveling around the universe. And at that stage, even at then, at the beginning of 290 million years, they were already transporting themselves around the universe in a very quick fashion with advanced spacecraft capable of traveling many times the speed of light and going interdimensional Isn't that cool? And now these beings have been trying to make contact with us. And they were in the process of doing so until, guess what happened? 9/11. We were already borderline as a civilization because of our history of warfare. Does anybody out there listening doubt that we've had a lot of wars before in our past? Although I know it's an unpleasant subject, and we don't want wars, right? Who wants peace? Well, the majority of us do, my friends. It comes down to this, that about 80% of the human beings on planet Earth are the good, decent, family-oriented, loving, generous, kind people that you and I are. I'm assuming that if you're listening, you're like me and like them. And just 20% are the bad guys, you know, who are probably, they do things like verbal abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse. They may be murderers or rapists. They don't believe in the Creator. They don't believe in the Mother and Father God. They don't believe in Jesus. They live their lives exploring freedom and pleasure and indulging in those sensory things, maybe drinking too much. And that 20% also makes up the, included in that 20% are the tyrants, the bullies, the dictators that currently exist around the world in some places and have before in the past, like Hitler, Mussolini, Saddam Hussein, just to name a few, Stalin. And, you know, I'm not God, the creator of the universe. I'm not a co-creator God yet. I'm going through that process to become like one. But I can say that if I was a God, if I'd reached that pinnacle of spiritual development and soul's evolution, I would know everything about those individuals. I would see how they were brought up, how their parents treated them, maybe some things that happened to them, peer pressure. Even when a mother changes a baby's diaper, if she doesn't do it in a kind and gentle way, that can affect the baby's mind. Maybe they were physically abused when they were growing up, or sexually abused. Someone like Hitler, for example. How is that going to play on their mind? We have a lot of mental health issues here in the United States and around the world, too. And sometimes it's not their fault. But then again, they say that everything is the way it's supposed to be. Right now, everything that's happening is just as it's supposed to be. And everything will be all right, though. And guess what? God, the creator of the universe, loves us unconditionally. Each and every one of us. God, the creator of the universe, knows how many hairs we have on our head. Yes, it's true. And the creator of the universe knows how many grains of sand are on a beach in New Zealand in some place. How about that? How many grains of sand are on that beach? Now, that's some pretty cool knowledge. Don't you agree? You and I, well, we just don't know that much. Our brains are kind of finite. They're hardwired to forget where we came from, that we existed prior to being born, that we went through our souls and our spirits, what is known as the river of oblivion, the veil that we go through in some planets, and particularly our own planet, when we were born. So that would erase the memories of our past lives and access to universal knowledge, and that we would have to deal with this very incredibly difficult learning environment, and thereby increasing the light of our soul and our evolution so that we can gain that knowledge and increase our light as we continue on in our evolution, going to that world of light over there in the distance that is the matrix of our solar system. And not only provides the light and heat that we need, but also the power to rotate the world and our solar system and revolve them around itself. Now, that's an amazing power. Do you agree? Just think of the power it takes to rotate a planet on its axis. On its axis, at a 23.5 degree tilt, 23.5 degree tilt, and revolve it around itself for a year perfectly, without fail, no glitches. That power has no glitches, not like maybe the finest clock that humankind has ever invented, a nuclear clock even that's exact and accurate to the most minute second, what they call nanoseconds. Suffice it to say, my friends, that the creator of the universe is very perfect in everything she does, because the creator is both male and female. The universe is the positive, the negative, the yin, the yang, the alpha, the omega. Make no mistake about this, my friends. We live in a male and female universe. And there is no only sons or daughters. Even Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father." Oh, come on. Hello. What do you think that means? If Jesus said that, then we are all children of our mother and father God. And even, I would venture to say, even grandchildren of the creator of the universe, because all those years ago when the Big Bang happened and the universe began forming itself, one solar system after another and one galaxy after another, part of the plan was that there would be, I'm going to take a drink. Part of the plan was that there would be all of the children of the universe who would, I remember that song that goes, "I need someone to love me the whole day through," Old Man by Neil Young. I need someone to love me. That's what the creator said. I want to grow, and I need someone to love me, because guess what? Love creates growth. Praise is a form of love or growth. And the creator seeks growth and love and needs our love. He needs our love. He needs us to love him all the time. And that love that we give the creators is turned around and given back to us. And as we live our lives on planets and we learn more about the creator and all the wonderful things she has done, the miracles of all creation, then we can give that love back to the creator. And the creator craves that love. The creator desires that love. And because love is what makes growth. What do you know about growth, my friends? Are you a growth master? I think you are, because you were a baby once. And look how far you've come since then. I know it's a slow process, incredibly slow, where you don't really notice any changes on a daily basis, right? I remember I had a friend in San Diego. Hillary was his name. I mentioned this on a previous radio show, I think, but I'll kind of sum it up here quickly, not make it a long story. One year I saw him, and he was about 4 feet tall. A few years later, he was taller than me. He had grown about 3 feet almost, and he was a young man with a beard. And the last time I'd seen him, he was just a boy. And wow, we lived together for 6 months. And he was a pretty cool young man. His face had changed. You know, you could see the visible changes in the face of someone who has grown visibly, remarkably. It's an incredible thing to witness that kind of growth. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, he got mixed up with the wrong people, and I don't know where he is now. I went back to where we lived and found out from a relative that he was in jail. And I had done better than he had afterwards. And she said that it seems like you've done better than he did. And that's too bad. I guess my point is that growth is an amazing thing, which we don't really appreciate as much as we should. The value of growth needs to be greater. And also, of course, the value of life. You go to some countries around the world, and I don't want to say too much negativity about them, too many negative things, but suffice it to say that they don't have the same values as here in the United States. Some countries, in reality, are many years in arrears of our own as far as evolution and development. I'm not talking about spiritual development, but also industrial development, you know, where they don't have, for example, crossing the street. If you don't have a sidewalk, even a sidewalk in some countries, you think that you have the right of way? Think again. You take your life into your own hands and you cross traffic without that car coming to a stop. And they don't always, especially not on a crosswalk. You try to cross the road, they don't have that same value of life. And I've seen some dead bodies on the roads of Venezuela, Caracas, Venezuela, when I was there from 2001 to 2004. A couple of dead bodies lying there in the middle of the freeway. People just don't value life. I saw a man driving a car. A dog was crossing the street. He didn't slow down. He just hit the dog and clipped its rear end. I think the legs, and I don't know what happened to that dog, but I'm sure he didn't survive much long after that. The value of life, my friend. Do you have a value of life? You know what I'm saying? We should respect that light that we have in us, that light that's shining in our eyes, that spirit. We are alive, my friends. We are alive. Do you know that you're alive? Do you know that there's an alternative to that? Which, God forbid, you know, I would like to live to be 100 years old, but it's not always possible. You know what I'm saying? Life is very difficult and dangerous nowadays. You get on the freeway, you take your life in your hands. Am I right or am I right? Even airplane travel now is no longer as safe as it used to be. How many have been thinking twice about traveling by airplane to go to location because of what's happened in the recent past? Are you tracking what I'm saying? We are live. Just like that song by Dream On. Oh, I gotta sing that song. Let me give it a try. Every time that I look in the mirror, all these lines on my face getting clearer. The past is gone. It went by like dusk to dawn. Isn't that the way? Everybody's got the dues in life to pay. Well, I know nobody knows where it comes, where it goes. I know it's nobody's sin. You got to lose to know how to win. And then he goes on to say, sing with me, sing for the years, sing for the laughter, sing for the tears. Sing with me just for today, maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take you away. And that goes for me, too. Maybe the good Lord will take me away tomorrow. The good Lord, the Mother and Father God, there in heaven, on their thrones, in the throne room. You know how beautiful the throne room is? And the light that fills that room? If you stand before the presence of the Mother and Father God, co-creator gods in their own right, who have lived on planets like we're living on this planet right now, and through that process of evolution and reincarnation, have perfected their souls throughout the years until they became almost like the Creator, but we can never be the Creator. The Creator is a separate entity. The Creator is like the Aurora Borealis, if you will, a huge, huge energy field shimmering like the rainbow, with an electricity that crackles, and inside is a being that has a head and a smile, a mouth and a smile, an intelligence that's omniscient, and a power that's omnipotent. Yes, a changing spirit, configuring to whatever the Creator wants to at that very second become all of his or her creations, all the different sentient beings. She can become them in an instant, changing his or her face and spirit into a thousand, a million different versions of his or her self. That's why they say if you ever beheld the Creator of the universe, the glory, the beauty, the amazing power of the Creator of the universe, you couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. It would be too much for us to handle in this physical body. As a spirit, we would see the light, a light so brilliant and shining, it washes over you with a power like a hurricane force wind. And unless you're spiritually developing and talking about the Creator, oh, my friends, now's the time to learn. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Develop yourself spiritually, increase the light of your soul, because don't you want to get close to the Creator of the universe, not only the Mother and Father God, who are co-creator gods, who we are striving to be, but the Creator of the universe. You can learn so much. How you praise the Creator now will carry with you when you transition to the afterlife, and then you could be friends with the Creator. You've got it made then. You know what I'm saying? The Creator of the universe is so cool. You wouldn't believe how cool the Creator of the universe is. And talk about a sense of humor. Absolutely. Fantastically wonderful. He'll have you busting up in laughter. You'd be surprised at just how humorous the Creator of the universe is. She invented humor. The reason you laugh, I laugh, is because of the Creator of the universe. Think about it. It's amazing. Here's a prayer. Creator of the universe, you are so worthy of praise. I look around and I see this beautiful planet. I look up into the evening sky and I see the planets out there, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter. I see the stars, the suns, and other solar systems surrounded by their planets. And I know I'm going to take a drink. That you created them all. Maybe not directly, but indirectly, because you give us access to those cosmic forces, which, if we know how to use them, we too can be a creator, and we can create our own planets just by knowing what to do, by using the proper words. Words can create, my friends, or words can destroy. The choice is yours. Profanity really doesn't have a purpose, in my opinion. It's a waste of time. It's a lack of intelligence. But then again, who am I to judge? Occasionally, I have sworn a few times in my past. Not a lot. I remember one time I went to a Boy Scout camp when I was young, maybe about 12, 13 years old. And we had our tent set up, and it was nighttime and we were chilling out, and there was this guy, he used to come over and visit. I was sharing the tent with a buddy, and he came in our tent and he had some cool cigarettes. And he lit one up and he was smoking it and just spewing some vulgar language all over the place. And I thought that was so cool. So I tried to do that too, but all it did was give me a headache. I stopped it. I don't swear hardly at all nowadays. Let me take a drink. Let me finish my prayer. Creator, we need your help. Planet Earth is a Category 1 planet. On a scale of 1 to 9, we are the lowest on the evolutionary scale. And we're going through a process of evolution, like most Category 1 planets around the universe do, where we have a lot of warfare and killing and people not being kind to each other for no good reason. Imagine the women and children that have died in wars in the past. Absolutely despicable, really, or very, extremely unfortunate. But I think the majority of us create or do want peace. I envision a world of peace for our children and their children in the future, so they won't have to go through what we've gone through in our history throughout the centuries. I envision a world where people are kind to each other and love each other and adore each other. We need your help, please. You can do anything. I know you can. You are able because you are omnipotent and you are omniscient. All we have to do is ask, right? I'm feeling it right now that you are maybe listening. And all it takes is a prayer from someone or a prayer from a group of people. It's so powerful, my friends. And prayers can change things. I know that. So that is my prayer, Creator, for my fellow human beings, which I'm looking out for. You once said, I know that you said these words, and please note this, my friends out there listening. The Creator said these words, or Co-Creator God said these words. Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. Think about that for a second while I take a drink, please. Man will prey on man, P-R-E-Y, until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. And women, too. Women will prey on women until women learn to pray for women. And what does that mean, my friends? It means we need to look out for each other and have each other's back. I do it all the time. I'm driving down the freeway. I see a car on the side of the road stopped. Excuse me, I'm going to take another drink. Maybe a flat tire or the engine stopped working. Traffic going by 60, 70 miles an hour. Just a few feet to spare. Someone's out there trying to fix the tire, exposed to that. All it would take would be, you know, some kind of little mistake. Person driving, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So I say, I take another drink. God, please keep them safe. Sometimes I'll see an ambulance going down the road or a police car with their lights on, the siren going. I'll say, God, keep them safe, please. And I do it all the time. I'm praying because I read that man will pray on man until man learns to pray for man. So I'm doing my part. Are you going to please do your part, my friends? You have to be strong. Are you strong? You have to be fast. Are you fast? You have to be courageous. Are you courageous? Are you brave? This is the land of the brave, my friends. Oh, I feel I got to sing the Star Spangled Banner. Let me sing this. Let me take a drink first. You don't have to stand up, okay? This is just a song. I love the United States of America. A little bit more about that later, but it gave me another life, and I appreciate it. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that a flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. So, my friends, you in the United States, as a citizen of the United States, I'm assuming you are, although you could be listening anywhere around the world, but even still, as a human being, I know you're brave to come here to this planet and evolve your soul. Are you brave enough to pray for people? Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. You know where I learned that? If you're interested, if you really are interested and want to do a little bit of research, check out this near-death experience from a man named Lou Famoso. Now, that's an easy name to remember, right? Lou Famoso, F-A-M-O-S-O. He was a Vietnam veteran. Came back from two tours. I think he was with the Navy, so he wasn't like a grunt, you know. And he bought himself a brand new 64 Mustang when he got back. Going to a party on a Saturday night. Hey, it's Saturday night tonight. Going to a party, traveling down a country road with his brand new Mustang, and he put the pedal to the floor and was going about 100. Well, that country road, unfortunately, had some bumps. And if you're familiar at all with the old Mustang, it's very front end heavy. And so a few bumps in a row like that, he lost control and started flipping end over end, landed up on the side of the road on fire. He was ejected, no seatbelts back then, right? He had a gaping head wound. So he had a near-death experience. It's a long story. I'm going to keep it short. He found himself in a place that could be best described as a world of light with beautiful scenery all around. Trees, mountains, rivers, and orbs of light flying around, which in my opinion was probably the souls of some people, which you can do that. Because in your true essence, you're like a ball of light, my friends. You can configure into a spirit, which is what your spirit looks like. It looks like your regular physical body, although translucent and transparent in places. And your soul is the brain of your spirit. But anyway, he saw this orb of light coming towards him. At first, it was very small. He thought it was like one of the other ones that were flying around, twinning around like fireflies. And it got closer. And then it was about the size of a billiard ball, and then about the size of a basketball, closer and closer, about the size of a beach ball when it stopped in front of him and materialized into the most beautiful beam of light. And he realized at that moment that he was in the presence of a god, whether it was the co-creator god of our solar system or another solar system, perhaps. Not the creator of the universe, I think, but a co-creator god. As if made of light, my friends, and with a fine outline, as if etched with the finest quill pen, a nuclear kind of energy that emanated. And among other things, the creator said to him, I'll call him the creator, that god, if you will, I think it was the Father God, to tell you the truth, in my opinion, after I read that near-death experience. He said to him, man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. And he also gave him another vision. He showed him this beautiful crystal plate, like the finest crystal that you might have at a feast or a gathering of people that you put on a table with many find bits of food on it, you know, finger sandwiches or hors d'oeuvres or chips or whatever. And it broke into a million pieces. I'm going to take a drink. And the point was, what he was trying to convey to Lou Formoso was, you are all of the souls in the universe are like that, where you belong to the whole. You are part of the creator of the universe. And then when the Big Bang happened, also little pieces of the creator flew out, which was the fourth force of the universe, an infinitesimal spark of the divine that we have in our souls that lights up our souls like a kerosene lantern lights up a lantern. As I've mentioned before, the first force is the force that created the suns and the planets and the moons. The second force created all the plant and animal life. The third force created the sentient life. And don't you know, there's even some ETs out there listening to my radio show. I know it, and that's fine. They're so extremely intelligent, it makes me a little bit nervous. I would like to have a conversation with one. I'm sure it'd be like getting hit by an M1 tank, you know. Their minds are so powerful, you know what I'm saying? And there are, oh, my friends, in the intergalactic, in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, which runs the universe, so to speak, there's thousands and thousands of extraterrestrial beings who are part of the intergalactic community. Now, if you didn't know this, I don't mean to scare you, but there are also some pretty bad boys out there, too. You know, reptilians. There's a lot of reptilian species out there that are warlike. And people like us, I say people, I mean beings like us, who are still in the earlier stages of evolution. And it's pretty commonplace, actually, when you have a new planet or a Category 1 planet, whether it's for us or for the Verdants, that species I mentioned earlier, they went through their own evolution and they had some conflict and combat among themselves. So it's a pretty common thing. Interstellar warfare is a reality from what I've heard. And I don't really like talking about that because I think space is meant to be a peaceful domain. And the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets and the Verdants want to make sure that space stays peaceful. And so they do whatever they need to do to prevent, like, nuclear warheads from being sent into outer space. It's for our own good. It's for the good of the universe. We don't need war. War, what's it good for, except for an undertaker? Just like that song from the 60s. War, huh? What's it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. But it's an interesting thing when people die, especially at your own hand. But my father killed a German in World War II. He told me about it. And it was either him or the German. One of those situations, kind of like a duel at high noon on a dusty street in a western town. You know, whoever draws first and shoots straighter survives, you know. And it was kind of like that situation. But I know that that man that Dad killed haunted him for the rest of his life and contributed to his PTSD and his alcoholism. He used to wake up in the middle of the night, I take a drink, swinging. If you kill somebody or anything, well, I'm not sure about that. Let's just say, keep it to, if you kill another human being, they will haunt you until you die. And then you'll have to pay for that in karmic debt in the afterlife. More than likely coming back to a planet of a similar category without passing go and collecting $200 or You know, if you're in first grade, you don't get to go to second grade. You got to stay in first grade. Isn't that depressing? You want to do that, my friends? You should be like me. And actually, I'm following some people's, how would you say it, their trajectory, their goal of graduating from this existence with honors. Hey, in the university universe, planet Earth is like a school. So why not graduate with honors? Do the right thing. Random acts of kindness, opening doors for people, saying hello, waving to people. And they might not, maybe one in 10 might not do anything back or say anything. But what can you do other than just say a quick prayer for that person if you need to? Because they might be going through some tough things, you know. They might be having a bad hair day, so to speak. It's like today I was driving home with my wife from a Toastmasters meeting that we went to this morning. It was about maybe 12 or so people there, 9:30 in the morning. It's pretty intense. It can be when you get up and you have to talk, you know. But anyway, we had lunch or brunch, and then we were driving home, and traffic began to back up, and it was bumper to bumper, and we had a long wait. So then there were some cars that were coming in on the right-hand side to join the lane, you know. And I've always thought that the rule of thumb is if there's a whole lot of cars trying to merge into that lane, you let one go in front of you, just like the person in front of you let someone go. So it's one at a time, right? Well, this person behind me in a gray Range Rover didn't think so. This person was trying to get in, and she was not letting them in, and she was hitting her horn at them. So this person was kind of like alongside of me, and I waved her. I said, well, you can go in front of me. And then that woman behind me hit her horn at me and was raising her hands in gestures like, what are you doing? I was trying not to let him in. And so I said, wow, she's angry. Oh, God. Well, God bless her anyway. Maybe she needs some help. You know, I don't know what she's going through. That's exactly what I mean. You know, you'll encounter people like that. But most people are good and decent, you know, and loving. You see them on television. There's some really beautiful people out there. And such a diversity in our civilization. It must be amazing to the ETs, right? And what can we do about it? I mean, the bad will always be with the good, and we're living together, and so that's a good thing. We're tolerating each other. We're surviving. We're growing. That's the main thing. The main thing. Remember what I said. The Creator loves you unconditionally. Yes, it's true. You are a child of the God. If you have a soul and a brain and a heart, you are loved by the Creator. You are a child of God. If you have a brain, a soul, and a heart, you are a child of God. If you have the potential, just the potential, I don't want to be morbid, but if you are not invincible, if you are finite, you are a child of God. If tomorrow might not be here for you, and you don't have anything to say or do about it, you are a child of God. And more than that, you are a co-creator God in the making, because we are here. We exist because of the Creator of the universe. We exist. Our existence is all because of that being out there. It looks like an aurora borealis, with all the colors of the rainbow shimmering, a huge, huge energy field crackling with electricity, with a being inside, a configuring, changing, incredible spirit that has existed for billions of years and existed before the universe was born, when there was nothing but darkness and silence. That Creator, an omnipotent, omniscient Creator who wants to be our friend and wants you to just acknowledge him, her, worship him, her. Wouldn't you like to be worshipped? That'd be cool. Someone worship me. You know, because we're all in this together, really. We're parts of the whole. Worshipping the Creator for the miracles of all creation seems like the logical thing to do. And the universe is so large. It's incredibly huge. Light years. Oh my God. That's just an expression. The closest sun to our sun is Alpha Centauri. It's 4 light years away. The Voyager spacecraft, traveling at 40,000 miles an hour, that were launched in the late 70s, have only just exited our solar system. And they're traveling towards Alpha Centauri, but it's going to be many more thousands of years before they get there. And that's the closest sun to our sun. Think about maybe another galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy, or the Large Magellanic Cloud Galaxy, or P51, or all those other galaxies out there. And there's a lot of them, right? I'm going to take a drink. But heaven, my friends, one day we'll get to heaven in the afterlife. Hopefully, we all will eventually. Some may take a detour, need a little bit of serious rehabilitation, you know, those really bad people. Oh, so they were brought up probably that way. Are they to blame? They have to be held accountable for their actions. One thing is with the law of the universe, if you make a mistake, you have to pay the price for it. You know what I mean? So if you kill somebody, especially in anger, not accidentally, you've got to pay the price. There's a jail that you go to when you transition from this life. It's called hell. Guess who's in charge of it? Archangel Lucifer. Archangel Lucifer works for the Mother and Father God. He doesn't have any special powers. He has no capability. It's not inherent in his nature to rebel. Just between you and I, FYI. The creator of our body, of our spirit and soul, our Mother and Father God, in other words, also have angels surrounding them. They're all perfect in every way. You know what I'm saying? There's cherubims, there's seraphims, there's archangels, there's dominions, principalities, virtues, regular angels. Archangels are huge. They have wings, like 15 feet wingspans. Archangel Lucifer, along with Archangel Michael and Gabriel, are the three most known, commonly known archangels. Archangel Michael's in charge of the angels. Gabriel is a messenger who's shown up before in this world, and he also drives a chariot, and he'll pick people up and take them to heaven when they pass away, cross over to the other side. That's how I want to go. But Archangel Lucifer is a very beautiful angel in his own right. His eyes are a little different than Michael's and Gabriel's. If you read that near-death experience by Lou Formoso, he is asked by Father God, I'll call him Father God for not knowing better, but let's just say that he is or was the Father God in that experience. He gave Lou Formoso the chance to go with any of those three. Lou Formoso looked at them, and initially he was thinking about going with Archangel Lucifer, but there was something about his eyes that was different. They were kind of piercing. Gabriel, he seemed a little bit mild-mannered, but Michael, strong and powerful, you know. He has a sword, very authoritative, powerful. So he went with Michael, and they're showing around the universe, but my point was, going back to what I said, Archangel Lucifer works for God, and God does not make any mistakes, because God is omniscient, and God knows into the future and wants his creation to be perfect and not have that capability to rebel or do anything contrary to what she says. In other words, not being disobedient, right? And just imagine if that had happened if Lucifer had rebelled and gone somewhere else, don't you think that God would have had the power to destroy him if God created him? Knowing that, let's just say, in that the way the Bible describes it, that Lucifer rebelled and then now it has been intimidating and harassing mankind for thousands of years, sometimes killing people. Now, logically, if the Creator, let's say the Creator, Mother and Father God, have superior power over the angels, I mean, the power to create them, wouldn't they have the power to destroy them? And why wouldn't they destroy them if they were harassing us and intimidating us and even killing us? Does that make sense? Sometimes you've got to figure this out logically, and logic will set you free, my friends. The bottom line is Archangel Lucifer is in charge of hell and the demons. And demons do exist. Oh, my God. They really do exist, my friends. I wouldn't want to go to hell, I tell you. People ought to watch what they do. Seriously. That is the worst kind of rehabilitation. But there is no eternal damnation. Take it from the Reverend Blake Ruby. And I know it's just my opinion, but there is no eternal damnation because the Mother and Father God are very forgiving, more forgiving than us. And how forgiving would we be if our own children disobeyed us or made a mistake and then we condemn them to an eternity of suffering? Are you kidding me? Again, logic will set you free. There is no eternal damnation, it's rehabilitation. Some people need some serious rehabilitation. Don't you know it? Those evil acts that they do have to be accounted for. They have to pay the price for their sin. And they do. Those demons are terrible. And the spirit, when the spirit goes down south into the interior of this world, this planet, it retains a lot of the characteristics of the physical body, in as much as you can still feel pain. And these demons will tear the spirit apart with teeth and claws. I mean, and they're evil. They have no mercy at all. There's no mercy at all in their eyes. That's their function. They were created to be the most serious form of rehabilitation imaginable, my friends. And there are some there that are deformed and are very tall with huge teeth and claws, and they rip the spirit apart, and guess what happens? It forms back together again, and the whole process repeats over and over again, and they experience that same pain over and over again. And that's the kind of rehabilitation really serious murderers need, and rapists too, because rape is almost as bad as murdering somebody. You know, in a civilization that existed on Earth many thousands of years ago, you know what they used to do to murderers? And there was a civilization in the Pacific Ocean called Lemuria, otherwise known as Mu. And they were very advanced. They had some anti-gravity electromagnetic technology back then, which other extraterrestrials had shared with them. And they had no monetary system. And the way they handled murders was they would have some people called mind readers come in. They put them in a room and look at them through like a two-way window mirror. And they would look at their behavior and they would inject sounds in that room and see how they reacted. After about a week, they would give their findings to some judge to determine whether they were guilty or not. And the sentence, if they were found guilty, was, I'm going to take a drink, being thrown alive to crocodiles, eaten by crocodiles. How would you like that, my friends? I think that would discourage a lot of people from murdering people, don't you think? Now, you might think, well, that's not very merciful. That's not humane. Well, I'll think about maybe a mother who has a 16-year-old daughter who was raped and murdered by somebody. Think how she feels at the loss of her daughter. And then tell me if you think it's still inhumane to do it that way. See, logic will set you free. But as far as rape, which is actually worse than murder, you know what? rape is worse than murder. You know what they used to do? They would bury someone after they found him guilty of rape. And in an anthill up to his head, and cover the head with honey. And the ants would eat away the honey off the head and eventually eat the flesh off the head. And it was a terrible, painful way to die. All right, thank you. Got 3 minutes left. Well, I said a prayer. Remember some takeaways. Man will pray on man until man learns to pray for man. So here's a prayer. I just thought of it. You know, we're going through some hard times with politics. And it's a long story, my friends. I don't have time to explain it. But really, the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is, in my opinion, as simple as abortion. Are you for abortion or are you against abortion? Think about what the Creator wants, the Mother and Father God. I'll say that's enough about that. Here's the prayer. Mother and Father God, Creator of the universe, you are separate entities. We are co-creator gods. Our Mother and Father God were co-creator gods. They are co-creators of the solar system. Please bless us all here on Earth. Help us to get along with each other, to be kind to each other, to be understanding, to love each other. We should adore each other. Because why? Because we are alive. It's amazing that we are alive and tomorrow we might not be. Think of somebody that you know in the government right now. How would you feel if they died tomorrow? Would you feel any kind of remorse for things that you said about them? I would hope so, because otherwise, I don't think you're a good person. We need a lot of good people nowadays. People that love and respect the life in people, the dignity that every human being deserves. Please help us. I said a prayer earlier, but just to end, thank you for everything. We love you, Creator of the universe. You are so awesome. Please continue to help us. You're able. Thank you for everything. We love you. Amen. Talk to you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.